Hello and welcome to a special Saturday edition of the End Zone Pod Preview Show. I am your host, Trajan Watkins, and with me we have the usual host, Mr. Eric, over there in Utah, still recovering from a concussion. He gracefully came onto the show to preview a couple games so we can hurry up and get this thing out the way, get you guys some little preview action on this cold Saturday afternoon / evening here in Nashville. So, without further ado, let's jump right into it. And, Eric, we decided on two games that we wanted to talk about just to keep it low maintenance today.
Do you want to start there, or do you want to start with the news?
Let's start with the news, actually. Let's start with the news first.
Okay.
Eric, your Broncos are going through a little bit of COVID trouble. I believe it was Jeff Driskel, one of the quarterbacks on the Broncos roster. I'm not sure if he tested positive for COVID. I'm not sure. But the three other quarterbacks are on the roster. Drew Lock, Brett Ripien, I believe that's his name, and Blake Bortles all were pulled from practice today and sent them home due to contact tracing concerns or procedures, I believe, due to Jeff Driskel, one of the quarterbacks on the Broncos roster, testing positive for COVID-19. And if this situation was going on in the middle of the week, then sure, that might have been fine. But it's Saturday. Saturday, the Broncos have a game tomorrow against the Saints. So they're rolling into this game without even knowing if three of their quarterbacks on their roster will be able to, play. So that's extremely concerning. Extremely concerning. And it's especially concerning for the Broncos, considering that they're going up against the Saints, who are playing some pretty good defense right about now. So I have no idea what's going on with the Broncos quarterback situation. Eric, I know it's kind of weird and crazy with this year that's going on, but to have this sort of situation just go on just a day before a game, It's got to be, I guess you say, stressful to say the least for the Broncos.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're potentially going into a game without any quarterbacks. I mean, if that happens, though, I would imagine this game gets canceled tomorrow. This was bound to happen. It didn't happen with a big name quarterback, but you know, it was bound to happen, basically, that a team was going to, you know, come up and basically lose a position group due to COVID a day or two before a game happened. Like, that's happened before. You look last week, the Raiders' whole defense almost missed that game. They were gone. They were out of practice the entire week. It's just really, you know, it's COVID. So I'm not too, I guess, concerned. I don't think maybe that's not the right word, but one of two things happen. Broncos game gets canceled tomorrow, you know, or for some reason, you know, they have to forfeit and you get a loss, or you play against the Saints. I mean, I am honestly just not – I'm just not overly worried about, like, what's going on with the Broncos right now. I'm just not. I just feel like the – I feel like the what am I – I forget what I'm trying to say even. I just feel like the Broncos were, you know, either way, this might end up being a loss for the Broncos, right? So, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but this was bound to happen at some point, right? I mean, am I crazy that I'm just not shocked by this?
No, you're not crazy at all, because it's just hard to play football, an organized sport – like football that has so many people that are required to be so close together for specified amounts of time. mean, it's hard to go through a season, 16-game season like that, without having some sort of case or cases pop up within the team, because there's just so many people involved with this. No matter the precautions you take, you know, there comes a time when you're going to have to, I guess you could say, you could take the precautions, but then you can't go too deep into it, because that just ruins all what you're trying to do midweek, trying to prepare for a game or practice, whatever you're trying to do in an NFL building. So, yeah, you're not crazy. It was bound to happen, especially considering that some people in the NFL just aren't too responsible with this whole situation anyway. So, yeah, you're not too crazy at all. It was bound to happen. It was bound to happen, basically. So, with that in mind, we can move past the whole Broncos situation simply because it's that the Broncos, like we said, the Broncos situation was bound to happen, and that the Broncos will just have to find a way to get through it and play the game if it does indeed get played. Because I think it still will get played, because the NFL doesn't want to postpone any more games, especially this late in the year. Because they only have two buys to work with, or if it's for two teams, they still have buys left. So they're not going to cancel this game whatsoever. We'll just have to see how that goes moving forward. So moving past that, me and Eric are going to get into a little preview action here, where we both selected, like I said earlier, we both selected two games each that we want to preview. We'll talk a little bit about that's on the slate for Week 12, I believe. I guess I'll start us out here. One of the games that I picked, and this was one of the games I picked when I was talking with Joe Rose the other day. Joe, if you're listening, I'm so sorry about what happened. Joe knows what happened. Stuff happened. Technology sucks, but it happened. So me and Joe were discussing the Chargers and Bills game. And when you look at these two teams' records, the Bills are coming in at 7-3, Chargers at 3-7. I guess you could say the whole casual way of doing things would make you slide towards saying, oh, Chargers team, Bills are going to beat this team, blowing out the water. I don't think so. If you've been paying attention in recent weeks, the Chargers have been scoring points, like hotcakes on the offensive side of the ball, basically ever since Justin Herbert was sliding in as the starting quarterback after Tyrod Taylor went down with a really painful and I hate to say it, but comical injury due to the fact that the Chargers always have these weird injury situations with their team. But anyways, the Chargers coming into this game, they're coming, I believe they're heading up into Buffalo. these types of games, cold games in Buffalo, can always get your heart pumping as a football fan, because we all know what the Bills love to do in that cold weather up there in Buffalo. So with the Bills, Eric, are you buying the Bills really at all? Because, I mean, Josh Allen had that run earlier on in the year where he looked like an MVP candidate. He put on a stinker, somewhat of a stinker against Tennessee, and then didn't have a couple of good games. And then recently he started to put his season back together again. So, Eric, are you buying the Bills?
Yeah, they're up and down. I think I am. They're playing really good football right now. But this is going to be a good game. Austin Eckler's coming back here. Sounds like he will be playing for these Chargers. So I think that should be good. And I just think that The Bills are an interesting team to watch right now, because Josh Allen has played some really good games in the past few weeks, but it'll be interesting to see what happens in this game. I think that the Bills will take care of business, though. And if my analysis here sounds a little bit lacking, I have not watched a ton of game film these past few weeks, but I really wanted to get on, Trey, and you missed one of the pieces of news, so I'm going to take over for a sec. That's
go
it.
Ahead. Go ahead, man.
Really, the reason I thought we should get together today is, you know, there's been a house cleaning in Detroit.
Gosh, I forgot about that.
Matt Patricia and their GM, Quinn, have been fired, relieved their duties, and I don't know. I just think that obviously this is a long time coming, but to me, this signals the end of potentially an era in Detroit. This could be it for Matthew Stafford. I really do think so. I think that they might just – they're in a bad enough position where they'll have a high enough draft pick that they might try to, I think, flip Matthew Stafford this offseason for some picks. And I don't think that would be a bad option for them. I think Matthew Stafford is a guy that's still got some years left in his prime. And if he were on another team with a better kind of surrounding cast, he would be a lot of fun to watch. So I am not surprised this happened. I kind of expected this to happen. I sent out a tweet on Thanksgiving and that I expected this to probably happen by Sunday, and I'm glad my hunch was right. Man, it's too bad that it didn't work out for Patricia there, and you kind of wonder what's next for him. I sort of sneaky suspect he might be taken back by Bill Belichick and put on that defensive staff again as a position coach of some sort, or someone that can kind of mentor Steve Belichick a little bit, who has been coaching that group a lot this year. So I'll be interested to see what happens next with Patricia. But this was news that was a little bit out of left field, but overall not entirely shocked that this went down.
Yeah, and that's on my part. I was so caught up. I was looking at the Broncos news. I literally forgot about the biggest freaking news of the day, that Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn are now gone, which needed to happen because Bob Quinn has been horrible at his job the entire time he's been in Detroit, and so has Matt Patricia. He shouldn't have been fired. He shouldn't have been hired, in all honesty. I mean, I guess the whole allure of him leading that Patriot defense and being on staff with Bill Belichick, I guess, sort of seduced Bob Quinn. But even then, that Patriots defense wasn't all that good, even when Matt Patricia was leading up in New England. So it's been coming. It's been coming, and they've been refusing to pull the Band-Aid off. So finally they've ripped it off, and now Detroit can start, I guess you say, start joining towards actually getting that team back to being competitive again in the NFC and the NFC North. And regarding Matthew Stafford, it's going to be really interesting where he ends up, simply because it's that, like you said, where does Detroit go from here after this? I mean, they still have talented pieces on both sides of the ball, but you don't know what you're going to get with a new head coach, a new staff, a new GM. You don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what that new GM or what that new coach thinks of that roster and what they want to do with those players that's currently on the roster. So it could be a good opportunity for the Lions to ship Matthew Stafford off somewhere and get draft compensation, or maybe some players in return that can help jumpstart that roster. I can't think of any really destinations that come to mind. Chicago, I guess, won, because Chicago always needs a quarterback. They needed a quarterback for years. But other than that, I can't really think of any other destinations.
Well, Denver's been floated out there a little bit.
That would be interesting.
And they're going to have a high enough pick that they could probably make it work. Because if you look at the offensive pieces – they kind of have them. And if they were able to re-sign everyone defensively, I wouldn't want to give up a ton for Matthew Stafford. But what do you think his trade value is? Because I really wouldn't want to give up, especially with how old he is. I would rather not give up more than one first-round pick, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't even think I would give up a first-round pick for Matthew. I think I would go second. I think
that's a little bit insane. He's still playing really well. I think
that is true, but
starting level quarterbacks that are going to make your team into a winner,
yeah, but
immediately are worth first round picks, and that's kind of bottom point.
True. But COVID is going to, I mean, with the whole salary cap and things like that, I mean, it's going to be hard to even fetch all that compensation, because you get cheap controllable players with draft picks. So taking on all that money that's Matthew Stafford is still remaining on his contract, it's going to be hard to get some overwhelming offer. That's just me, though. Some team might be out there wanting to give a first-round pick for the Lions.
Here's another wild scenario. Who knows? Maybe Jordan Love ends up on the Lions next year.
Oh, man.
I mean, they wouldn't trade Stafford to the Packers, obviously. But, I mean, you could throw a second-round pick the Packers' way, and if they were really that secure in Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure they'd take it.
They wouldn't give up Jordan Love just a year after drafting him. Because they traded – you remember, they traded up to get Love. Traded up to get Love when they didn't even need to. So they're not going to get rid of him easily whatsoever. It doesn't matter how good Aaron Rodgers is playing. But that's just me, though.
Interesting. Well, that's just a theory.
Yeah.
Just a wild theory I have. But, yeah, we could get back to the games now. Wanted to bring that up really quick.
That's on my part. Excuse me for not bringing up the news. I got caught up in the Broncos news looking at the whole COVID situation. So
it's all good. It's a Saturday.
Yeah.
We're not thinking straight. My brain is mush.
Man. My
brain is less mush, but still mush.
Yeah.
And we are just two mushy brain boys going at it.
Yeah.
So let's talk here about NFC North football, little Packers, Bears. I don't know necessarily why I chose this game. I think the Packers are going to win pretty handily, but I guess I just want to start talking like guys out of Chicago, like Usaid Koshal, seem to think that Pace and Nagy are getting extensions and are the Halas family is not really willing to get rid of those two quite yet. My question is this. Pull up the Bears schedule really quick. How bad do the Bears have to be for them to consider firing Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace?
Let's see.
They're 5-5 right now. I haven't looked at their second half schedule.
So the rest of their schedule, they have the Packers tomorrow, Lions, Texans, Vikings, Jags, and Packers again. If they see –
that's a lot of trap games.
It is.
That's a lot of trap games. I think the Texans are going to be – just a quick point on the Texans. They looked so good on Thanksgiving.
What's the Lions,
man? And I think there's a shot they keep Romeo Crennel so this Jack Easterby clown can keep his role as GM. No, I really do. I do think that could happen. Just keep a tickler file on that because he's going for the hostile takeover. And if he doesn't search for a new coach, he doesn't have to risk, you know, that coach saying, I don't want to work with you. So – if Crennel can win like three more games, which if you look at the Texans' schedule, I think they can pretty easily. It's going to be, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. So let's go off topic and talk about the Texans for a second. Trey, I just want to know, like, am I crazy to think they're probably going to end up 7-9? I just don't. Like, the offense is too good for them, and the schedule is too weak at the end of the year, and J.J. Watt's playing too well right now for them to finish as, like, a 4-win team. I think they're going to finish, like, 6-7 wins pretty easily.
So what are the Texans now? What are the Texans now? What are they? Four and what?
Four and whatever now is.
Whatever that is. I think I can see one, two. I can see two wins, like, right off the bat. I can see wins against the Bears, and I can see wins against the Bengals. They have two games against the Colts in the next 3 weeks.
I really do think, and maybe I'm crazy, but I really do think they're going to win a division game or two.
I think they will.
I do think that Deshaun Watson might just go off against the Titans and drop him.
Yeah. I can see that.
That seems pretty likely to me, actually.
I can see that. I think it all depends on what the Titans, what their position is. If they have the division, let's say the Colts drop a couple games and the Titans win some more games and they have the division wrapped up by the week 17, they're all their backups. And, yeah, I can see them winning the division game. but I can also see if that isn't the case, though, I don't think the Titans will win that game simply because of that. The Titans will probably be fighting for their lives, playoff lives. And the Titans' offense absolutely obliterated that Texans' defense the last time they played it. So I would probably still pick the Titans even in that game. But, yeah, I could still see Deshaun Watson getting up some good numbers against that team anyway, simply because it's that the Titans don't handle speed at the wide receiver position very well.
Yeah, that's definitely a really good point there, Trey. So yeah, I just thought that about the Texans on Thanksgiving. I was just kind of thinking they're not going to be that terrible. They're just not. It's too hard to go like 4-12. I know, and that was kind of my point with the Broncos about a week or two ago, too. I know that we haven't really been on a ton, but I just think people that thought they were going to go like 3-13 were a little bit out of it, even though I can get the overreaction. It's just so hard it's really hard to be that bad in the NFL. Like, you're going to win a fluke game here or there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. But back to the Bears. So how many wins do you think Matt Nagy has to get to be completely safe? I kind of think the number is 7.
5-5, yeah. I'd say 7 or 8 simply because of that. I think Ryan Pace understands and recognizes the issue at the quarterback position. And I think he would want to give Nagy another year, maybe even 2, and give him a good quarterback to see what he does with that. Because we all saw what the Bears did with some above-average quarterback. We saw what the Bears did with some above-average quarterback play a couple years ago. They won a division, and they lost in the playoffs by the double doinker. So I give Matt Nagy a year or two with another quarterback, a good quarterback, and see what they can do. If he doesn't succeed, I want to give him another year with a good quarterback. So.
Yeah, I think that they're going to give him one more shot to find the quarterback. So I think you're right. I don't think any of the quarterbacks that are currently on that roster end up on that roster in 2013, which what makes me think, like, Mitch Trubisky, they're going to let walk in free agency. But they still have Nick Foles on the books for a little bit. Yeah, do you think Nick Foles is even worth a 7th rounder at this point? Do you think
he can
give that up?
He's not even worth any sort of draft compensation at this point. Not close to
you. Yeah, it's just a really bleak situation in Chicago right now.
What did Chicago trade to get him?
Just like an extra pick. I think they traded like 2/4 this offseason. But, I mean, that team has been just so unlucky because the defense is really good. Khalil Mack has played a really good year. Akeem Hicks has had a really good year. Their rookie corner, Jalen Johnson, has had a really good year. Trek Pagano has put together a really nice defense, but the offense is the worst in the league. Like, it's just a real shame that ends up being, you know, the dealio. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about that game really quick just because I wanted to talk about the Bears a little bit. And honestly, I'll say it. I love all football. But this slate puts me to sleep a little bit. Outside of like Chiefs Bucks, which I think we'll talk now about, I'm really not excited by that much, especially now that the Ravens are Lamar-less.
Yeah.
I think that really hurts them as a watchable team.
Yeah,
but I will tell you, I'm like half excited to watch RG3. Yeah. I just want to see what he's got. I want to see some how he's developed as a backup. I just want to see like what he is. I think it's good to check on RG3 every 2 to 3 years. Just make sure he's still got it.
Yeah.
He's like old at this point too, right?
Which sucks. Actually, I don't know how old he is.
He came in because he came in like when I started watching football. That was the year. The year I started watching football was the year he got drafted.
He's 30 years old now.
Yeah, he's an old guy. He's a vet now. And this game, I think, you know, these backups have these games where, like, they can add, like, another 10 years to their career if they even look a little bit above average. Mm-hmm. So if he looks even a little bit above average, he's going to make himself some money on Sunday.
He will.
For the next 10 years as a quality backup guy to have.
Yeah. Sucks to see that we're calling him a backup now. Because just when he was drafted, we were calling him a franchise guy because he had that crazy.
That whole 2012 draft is like – it's really sad, to be honest, because you think like Andrew Luck and the stuff that went down with him. He was forced to retire because of the injury. RG3 got his knee messed up and was never really the same guy.
Okay.
Like, the two guys that really emerged from that were obviously Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins.
Yep. Same guy.
Both those guys emerged from that draft. But at the top, especially, like, I was thinking about it the other day. Every once in a while, I think about Andrew Luck, and I just get angry at Ryan Grigson.
Oh, don't say that name. Don't say that name. Don't
yeah, I just get angry at him. Because, I mean, I just loved Andrew Luck. I mean, I think he's one of the favorite quarterbacks I've ever watched. So.
He's not even just, like, a favorite quarterback. He's just one of the my favorite humans, dude.
He was such a baller. Part of me wonders, Trey, and I kind of like this format of the show. Let's maybe close on this and then just quickly do our picks for Bucks Chiefs. We'll just do a bunch of random NFL musings today. Title this episode, Random NFL Musings.
Yeah.
But I just keep thinking, like, what do you think it would take for, like, some team to say, we'll pay you, like, $30 million if you just give it a shot for a year? Like,
look.
Yeah. Hmm. Like,
that it would have to depend on the team, man.
Yeah, I mean, I just keep thinking, like,
if the Colts called him now, I think he would. Would he return if the Colts called him now?
Yeah, I think maybe he would. Or I know this is so – I hate being so Broncos-centric, but
– oh, don't say Broncos. Don't say
I could forgive John Elway of everything he's ever done if he just threw $30 million at Andrew Luck. Like,
see, money doesn't even matter to Luck at this point, though. He literally – the only reason he retired, like, just because he kept on getting beaten and battered until his body couldn't take it anymore.
Broncos line isn't bad. Broncos line is okay. Better than that Colts line was. So.
But the Colts line now is arguably the best in football.
Yeah, I bet he would go back to the Colts maybe.
Especially with the leadership that they have there now. I mean, he took a
– the Colts are so interesting at quarterback too. Cause yeah. You would imagine after this year, they're kind of screwed. Because let's do this right now. Let's call our shots.
Okay.
Big name quarterbacks that are retiring this year, go. I'm going to say Breeze and Rivers both retire.
Yeah, I think Breeze and Rivers both retire. Let me think.
I think Ben's got like two more years.
Yeah, one or two more years for me. I can't really think of any other quarterbacks.
No, I think that's it.
Yeah, I was thinking Brady, and I was like, nah, no.
No, I don't think he's going to retire. I think he's got like – I think he and Ben are on similar tracks. I think once Ben starts publicly actually legitimately putting it out that he's going to retire, I think Brady will start considering it a little bit.
Yeah. I see what would be intriguing, like – And I'm just going away from big name quarterbacks retiring. I'm going back to the Colts and the quarterback situation. Let's say Philip Rivers retires, right? Do you really? Would you? Let's say you're I can't remember his name, but the Colts GM. Do you really want to go into that next season with Jacoby Brissett or Jacob Eason as your starting quarterback?
They love Jacoby Brissett. That's the number one thing to me that came out of the combine this year was that
Brissett isn't good.
I know, but they love him for some reason. They just think he's an awesome dude, and they want to keep him.
Look, man, awesome dude, that's great. But
I know. I'm just saying. Like,
no, I'm not talking about you. I'm just venting. Like,
yeah, that's what came out of the combine, at least. So
that's dumb, man.
I know. It's not the smartest way, but. I do think there is something to be said about having, like, a good dude that is okay, like a Josh McCown type. To me, Jacoby Brissett can fill in and be a Josh McCown type.
Yeah. See, and I was just about to say that. Like, Josh McCown, the guy, and I remember he came onto that playoff game, he wasn't even supposed to play. Then he just came back the next year, sort of being in that little coach, practice squad, quarterback type role, I guess. That's perfect for Jacoby Brissett. Because Brissett, he's not good. Like I said, he's not good. I think, you know, like I said, having a good guy back there just to be around your quarterback and be around that team in general, that offense, it would be beneficial. I think it would. I wouldn't start him. I wouldn't play him because I think he's bad. Well, I don't think he's bad, but I think he's, like, below average. But having a good guy back there isn't too bad, is he?
Right.
Let me ask you this, though. If the Lions do decide to trade Matt Stafford, what if you're the Colts, how much are you giving up for Matt Stafford?
Because
you get Matt Stafford, I think you're the best team in the division.
Yeah, I mean, that's a point.
Especially if you get another wide receiver.
You could see them, like, they don't have a ton of holes roster-wise. So you definitely could see them giving up, like, a first-rounder and several second-rounders.
Like, that would make them a Super Bowl contender, especially with
that. That would.
And if you get another wide receiver, too?
I don't know, Trey. Do you? I know. I don't even know if you have watched the Broncos outside the quarterback that much this year. But am I just a crazy fan to be thinking that if Matthew Stafford was on the Broncos, they'd, like, easily be a playoff team?
I think they would, because that defense is just that good.
I mean, I truly believe that Jerry Jeudy's just an elite receiver that's being held back by a quarterback.
I don't think he's elite just yet, but I will agree that he's a wide receiver that's being held back, yeah. See, let's say the Broncos get Matt Stafford. I think they're a playoff team.
That offense would be insane.
It would.
Matthew Stafford, KJ Hamler, Jerry Jeudy. Cortland Sutton's back. Yo, the running backs just stay intact. By the way, I think that's the way the Broncos win 7 games, is they just start running the ball and start
fumbles all
as a game manager, which I think is the plan. So where I'm at with the Broncos today, Trey, I think they finish 7-9.
I think they do too if they get a smidgen of consistent quarterback.
All they have to do, that requires that they win 2 more games, right?
2 more games?
5 right now or 4?
Oh, speaking of the Broncos, yeah, I just saw Adam Schefter said the Broncos will have no quarterbacks tomorrow because they're all deemed high-risk contacts, high-risk close contacts. So, sucks. That's bizarre, man.
Yeah, so that game's going to get canceled.
I mean, it has to.
Like,
it's insane.
That is one of the funniest things of all time. Sorry, I gotta send out some tweets about this. Oh my gosh,
that's insane.
No, it's just so funny. Let me just read the tweet. All QBs from the Broncos roster are ineligible to play Sunday against the Saints after being deemed close contact, sources tell ESPN. None were wearing masks at the time of exposure. The entire Broncos quarterback room has COVID, potentially. I don't know. That's just deeply funny to me. I am laughing very hard. It's making my headache act up, but dude,
how are you gonna play? I mean,
Kristen's DMing me. Dude, it's
that's just crazy, man. I keep seeing a whole bunch of Royce Freeman emergency quarterback. Is that it? Is he really the emergency quarterback over there?
I guess. I mean, we'll see what Royce Freeman has. I mean, oh my God, they're gonna get blown out tomorrow.
All the quarterbacks, man.
Dude, I can't even
hilarious, man.
I cannot even believe that every single quarterback on the roster is unavailable. Even Blake Bortles on the practice.
Blake Bortles, man. Oh.
I would have killed to see Blake Bortles. That would have made my entire season. All I've really wanted this season, Trey, since I realized it was a lost cause after that Chiefs game, all I've really wanted to see is Blake Bortles. I just want to see Blake Bortles. That's all I want to see. I want to see him throw like 8 picks. What's Nathan Peterman doing these days? I mean,
he's literally backing up Derek Carr. Backing up Derek Carr, man. Ahead of Marcus Mariota, by the way.
I mean, if John Elway wasn't a big MAGA guy, like I'd say Kaepernick, but there's 0.0 chance that happens.
That's just.
Holy cow, that's just hilarious. Well, we got to end on that. Let's quickly pick Chiefs, Bucks. I'm taking the Chiefs. I think they're going to kind of blow them out. I'm worried about the Bucks. I think they're a playoff team, but I'm worried about them.
Yeah, I got the Bucks. Chiefs, my bad. I'm worried about the Bucks too. Tom Brady can't – because that relationship between Tom Brady and Bruce Arians somewhat turns me on because those are two egos. They're just two big egos that are just clashing against each other right now. There has to be some give and take there. And some sort of, I guess, say collaboration where Bruce Arians will at least try to let Tom Brady do what he does best, which is attack in the middle of the field and get that short passing game going and get that short passing game going to the point where he doesn't have to abuse the downfield passing attack all game long, which Bruce Arians is trying to force Brady to do right now. So give me the Chiefs, but yeah, I'm concerned about the Bucs as well. Jeez, can we really end off that?
No, we have to end on. We just have to end on this tweet one more time.
Because the freaking Broncos have no quarterbacks to play tomorrow, and they're not forfeiting either.
How do you- all the QBs on the Broncos roster are ineligible to play Sunday after being deemed high risk, close contact? Sources tell ESPN. So what are they going to do?
Are they going to throw Royce Freeman out there? What are they going to do, man?
What are they going to do? Dude, oh my God, that is like the funniest thing. I mean, it should tell you enough. I mean, this is a Broncos season in a nutshell. This should tell you, this is the happiest I've been about the Broncos and the most joy they've given me the entire season is the fact none of their quarterbacks can play. I am so happy. I really hope none of them have COVID, but I am so happy that we will just see a rando out there at quarterback for the Denver Broncos tomorrow.
Jeez.
All right. Wrap it up. Let's head
We're out of here. We're out of here, man. Eric is going to sit there with his glasses on, take some more naps, recover from that concussion while thinking about and probably giggling while giggling himself to sleep at the thought of the Broncos playing against the 8-2 Saints without a single quarterback eligible to play tomorrow. Not a single quarterback. That's hilarious. We're out of here. Follow the End Zone Pod on Twitter. Listen to the podcast. Give it a nice review, I guess. Share it wherever. Share it with your friends, your family, your mother even, your grandmother, your aunt. Make your dog listen. You know what? Forget it. Just share the podcast. Listen to it. Spread it around. Eric does a lot of good work over here. He graciously brings me on to do the preview stuff every single week. Also, shoot Eric a little get well message, DM, text, whatever you do. You can send him a get well message of any kind. So we can get Eric back down so he can start his high energy hosting duties on the End Zone Pod. Like I said, follow the End Zone Pod on Twitter, listen to it on Spotify, share it. You can follow us both on Twitter at EricUtah18, I believe. Eric, is that your Twitter? Actually, yes. We don't even need the plugs for your Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, TreyWatkins099. We're out of here. We will catch you next week.
This to the Denver Broncos, I volunteer to play quarterback.
Get Eric at quarterback. Get Eric at quarterback for the Broncos, man. Get it. All right, man. We're out of here. A little bit of a low maintenance episode, so excuse the lack of preview, I guess you say, preview action on this show. So we'll be back to normal next week. Follow the show, spread it, and we'll catch you guys next week. Have a good night/day whenever you're watching, listening to this, and we'll catch you next week.